Continue our studies in the Bible and health. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah, chapter 1. The prophet Jeremiah is receiving a word from the Lord, and it's spiritual, but there is a physical application. The application also is mental, which also applies to the physical realm. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set this day, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant." And so when the Lord gives the word to Jeremiah to take forth to the people, there are six things that he's to do. Four of them are negative, and two are positive. And the negative things come first, and the positive things follow. And it's because our nature does everything wrong by nature. And so reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And if we do not take the time to search something out and study and learn, we will by very nature go the wrong way and do the wrong thing in every aspect of our life. It takes diligence and wisdom and seeking out to do the right thing. That also includes the way we eat. We eat in a manner that naturally harms us, that naturally increases the corruption process in our body, that brings disease and heartache on us. I mean, look, I understand that we're in a corruptible body. I understand that if you take a wonderful, my son's got one right there, it looks like a nice apple, a fresh gala apple, and you eat that fresh, healthy, living food. I understand what our body will do to it when it comes out to the other end. I mean, by very nature, our body is one that takes good and puts waste material in, and that's we corrupt things. And I understand that we're born into a world where we're very healthy when we're little, and we get less and less healthy as time goes on. I understand that. And that's just the wages of sin is death. And the Lord's not going to fix that here and now. That's just the way it is. But we accelerate the decline of the hill that we're on. I see people suffering from maladies and diseases in their 30s that they shouldn't be suffering from until they're in their 70s. I mean, I'm amazed when I see people, my knees hurt, my back hurt, my hip hurt. They can't sit for more than an hour because they got to move around, and they're in their 30s. That's not the way God created things to be down here. And so he says, Jeremiah, you got to speak to these people. They got to root out. They got to pull down. They got to destroy. They're doing things wrong before we can plant some good things. So we started last week. We began to touch on the concept of living versus dead foods. I want to show you the seven deadly foods that Americans partake in ingest on a routine basis. And, you know, and it's wonderful. You can get away with this stuff in your teens, because there's enough good packed into the system, but it'll catch up with you sooner or later. And again, I'm not trying to extend your life, because I know y'all want to get home to heaven. I'm not trying to add years to your life. But what I'd like to do is, if we get in the right direction with the right principle, we could add some life to our years. And instead of dragging and limping to Zion, we can march to Zion with a little spring in our step and a little bit of strength and vim and vigor. That's what I'm hoping to do. So again, Don Colbert's good book, if you want to get it and read it on your own. We're using a lot of the principles that he put out there, just a lot of the chapters I'm working through, and then I'm going to work some other ones in the next few weeks that aren't in here. But he was taking a look at his practice as being a physician, and the people that he's taken care of, and talked about a woman, he said, we're going to look at foods to avoid the dark side of the food world. Says, I had a woman come into my office. She was nearly 300 pounds. Her back was slightly bent with osteoporosis. She had suffering from arthritis, shortness of breath, lung problems. It had to move very slowly. I examined her, performed lab work, chest x-ray, EKG. She had high blood pressure, incipient heart disease, angina, arthritis, type 2 diabetes setting in, and other obesity-related problems, and her cholesterol was over 300. And I said, well, what do you eat? She says, well, I eat the four basic food groups every day. I can't understand why I'm gaining weight. So I said, well, specifically, what do you eat? Well, what I do is I fast every morning. I miss breakfast. Wrong. That's bad. That's wrong. It sends a signal to the brain. And the signal to the brain is, this person is going to starve. And so the brain says, well, since we're going to starve, we've got to store some fat in preparation for the oncoming famine. So the brain instantly in the morning is adding more fat. It's processing, it's reprocessing muscle and carbohydrates in the body, glycogen, and turning it into fat. That's what you do when you fast in the morning. I don't fast in the morning. I have whole fruits. And my brain doesn't get the signal that this guy's going into starvation. It says, oh, he's being fed. He's being fed live, healthy foods. That's good. And it doesn't put all those things into process. Fasting is a bad thing to do in the morning. I fast in the morning. And then, so I missed my breakfast. Then she said, then for lunch, I begin on the four food groups. I have a quarter pounder with cheese, lettuce, and tomato on a bun. And then sometimes I'll eat a jelly sandwich made with strawberry preserve, so I get my fruit in. And then for dinner, I'm a meat and potatoes woman. I get my vegetables from my potatoes. And I love T-bone steaks. So that satisfies my meat group requirement. And then I always include bread for my grains, and I put lots of butter on it to meet my dairy group needs. And I like a tall glass of orange juice or grape juice for the rest of my fruit needs in a day. And he says, I was stunned to silence. It's no wonder that she was in the condition she was in. So again, how does this happen? Unless you search these things out, like Sister Deb, who spends her time reading on these things, and you might learn something talking to her, you're going to end up going the wrong way. And so he says, Jeremiah, go in there and root out and pull down and destroy and throw down before we can build up and plant. So let's root out some of these seven deadly foods. The first one, refined sugar. Okay, refined sugar. Now, there is natural sugar that God has given unto us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Now, the Bible is not primarily a scientific textbook. Okay? As we preached on the streets yesterday, the Bible is a book about God. Amen. But he does put good science in his book. And the reason, you know, Brother James once said the Bible's not a science textbook, and I know that because there's no mistakes in it, and amen, that's good. Science textbooks have mistakes in them. Isaiah chapter 43. The Lord is upset because they haven't brought good offerings to him, and the main is the offering of the heart. But even the other offerings weren't proper, and he tells them in Isaiah 43 and verse 24, thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. But notice he talks about the sweet cane. There's a natural sugar cane that God makes. You get the sugar cane, you can get beet sugar. These are natural sugars, which are, to a point, they're good. And they're healthy. As a matter of fact, the human body needs 2/3 of its daily intake to be carbohydrate. Carbohydrate is extended sugars strung together. They're long chains of sugars. And as you break them down, they can be broken down into individual units of glucose. And natural cane sugar is like a two glucose unit together. It's called sucrose. And that's an extrinsic sugar that you can take a little of in moderation. Unfortunately, in the United States, we're taking it to excess. And not only that, we're processing it. We're refining it before we use it. The way it normally comes is if you take the cane sugar, he mentions cane sugar again in the book of Jeremiah, next book, chapter 6. And then later on, they got the message from Isaiah and they started bringing the sweet cane to him. Verse 20, to what purpose cometh there to me from Sheba, and the incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Now they're bringing the right sugar to him, but their heart is wrong. But the point is, he mentions two times about this sweet cane sugar. The normal cane sugar has that sucrose in it, which is a dual sugar. The body instantly breaks it down and feeds glucose to the brain and the heart. The heart and the brain live on glucose. Absolutely essential to maintain the brain and the heart. If I have a person in the hospital and he's had surgery on his mouth from a car accident and it's all wired together and we can't feed him through the mouth, what we'll do is we'll put an IV in him that has dextrose or glucose. So nurses and anybody around here, any medical people, that's what we give to them. Why? To feed their heart and their brain. Okay, it's very important to get that. And so the cane sugar has that sucrose made up of the glucoses in there, plus it has a layer around it of molasses. That's what normal brown sugar looks like. It has the molasses around it. The molasses, the brown sugar molasses, a regular, you cut that cane down, it will have like 95% of the sucrose for the energy and about anywhere between 3 to 6.5% molasses on there. The molasses has calcium, it has iron, it has magnesium, it has potassium. One tablespoon of it is 20% of the daily requirements of all those important minerals. So in and of itself, it is a good form of sugar, but that's not how we get it, folks. The sugar that we get is refined. They take the cane sugar and they put it through a process where they heat it, they centrifuge it, and they bleach it, and they pull all the molasses out. They sell the molasses as extra. So I don't know, you can go buy blackstrap molasses. So when I used to make my own syrups years ago, well, I would use the syrup. I'm trying to remember the one that we used to get. You get the fresh syrup from the tree. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Maple syrup. I would take blackstrap molasses and put a little bit of honey in it, and that's how I'd make my syrup long time ago when I used to eat like that. And by the way, one other point I just want to mention to you. Moderation key, and Paul will tell you the thing is moderation. I'm not trying to set you folks up to be some super nutritionists. I was that for a while. I was a teenage super saint spiritually and a teenage super nutritional saint physically when I was young. I was nuts. I went to the extreme. I would make her look like a backslider the way I used to eat. You don't need to go to that extreme. I assure you, I guarantee you, I understand the grace of God, not only spiritually, but physically, watching people and talking to them. 25,000 patients I handled in an operating room over 25 years. And so I know how God's grace works. Get going in the right direction. Do it to moderation. Some of you are so afraid to bring food now. Nothing's downstairs. That's okay. Listen, if the one day a week, you eat like I eat 6 days a week, and you do this one day a week, big deal. Big deal. But what you do downstairs can't be the norm. All right? If you're given to that type of appetite, Proverbs 23, put a knife to your throat. But if you can do it in moderation, amen. You got to know what your own willpower and your own spirit is. You got to get a gauge of yourself. If you realize you're one of those people that can't control it, me, I can buy a gallon of ice cream, stick it in my fridge, and it can last a month. Because I'll have one or two teaspoons. That's enough. I'm done. That's right. One or two teaspoons, and I'm done. That's enough for me. But there's other people, once they get started, they have two or three parfaits before they're done. And the thing is gone in 2 days. For those type of people, my recommendation is Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. Don't buy this stuff because you don't have the control over it. Know yourself. But moderation is the key. Now, they refine this sugar, and they take all the important molasses out of it, and they sell this white stuff back to you. And this stuff is not helpful. One of the things it does is the minute it hits your system, it tells your pancreas to start secreting insulin. And that's bad for you in two ways. Number one, insulin is, again, it's a hormone whose job is not only to put sugar into cells, it also takes excess sugar and stores it into fat. And as far as I know, I don't think anybody wants to put more fat on their body, but that's what insulin does. And so as you start getting this type 2 diabetes and you're pouring out more insulin and your cells are getting resistant to it, the regular cells that need it, like the brain and the heart and the lungs, the other glucose and insulin is just being poured into fat, and it just becomes this vicious cycle. You get heavier and heavier, and it's a sad thing. And the second thing I want to warn you about is over a while, it exhausts the pancreas. I mean, the pancreas only has so much life to it. And when you exhaust that pancreas, it goes into shutdown mode. And if that's all it did, that would be okay. But one of the problems with a shutdown mode pancreas is there's a huge increase in the risk of cancer and tumor genesis and metastases in the body. So the pancreas is a healthy organ, not just for processing glucose, but also for controlling cancer. It's a shame. My medical field of allopathic medicine has gotten away from some of the great advice, but this stuff was discovered in the late 1800s. There's the idiopathic trophic thesis of cancer, trophoblastic thesis of cancer, which was in the late 1800s. I was reading the research on it. It was very, very good stuff. And they were beginning to understand that the increases in cancer were starting to happen in the mechanized age from the altering of food. But that offended a couple people. Number one is the people that make the food. I mean, we're going to talk about refined sugar, and I'm going to show you in a minute about refined flour, another one of the deadly foods. And we're going to take a look at it. Now, the people that make these things, you know, General Mills and Kraft and the Nabisco and all these things, they're in business, of course, to, if you will, satisfy their customers and to make a profit, so that they can continue to stay in business and so they continue to pay off their shareholders. But we're part of the problem, because they refine this sugar and they refine this flour because we put up with it. Believe me, if we stopped eating it, they would come back and say, well, what is it you want? Well, we want whole grains. We want brown sugar. And they would quickly switch because they don't want to go out of business. But we allow them to do this kind of stuff because we don't think right. So I just want to show you, this sugar impairs your immune system. White sugar makes you more susceptible to infections. It impairs the T cells, which are white blood cells that fight viruses. And by the way, when you get a virus, it's up to you to beat it. There really are no drugs to beat a virus. I know that there's a drug that I did research on in the late 1970s called interferon. Any of you familiar with this? It's a very rare, it's very expensive. It's about 1,000 times the cost of gold per ounce. So what's gold going for in the spot market, Brother Ed? About 1,400. So it's about $1.4 million for an ounce. It's very expensive, interferon. And it's the only drug known that can kind of fight a virus. And the reason it works is because it's naturally put out by your white blood cells, and they try and extract it and purify it and give it. But it's very expensive, so nobody uses it. But your body can make its own, but sugar kills the ability of those T cells to do that. So that's bad. Sugar also impairs the B cells. And the B cells are the ones that put antibodies out to protect you against funguses and bacteria. And then you have another cell called the phagocytic cells, which circulate in the body, and they eat up bacteria, and sugar impairs that. It impairs you on three levels. And one other thing, it feeds bacteria and yeast and fungus. They love sugar. There's nothing they want more than for you to eat sugar. So if you have one of those infections and you eat refined sugar, you're feeding the infection and killing your ability to fight it. I mean, when I get an infection coming out, praise the Lord, which is rare, I mean, rare, I mean, I know what to do. That's it. I'll take my liberties with having a, I like Hershey Hugs. they're okay. I'll have two or three or four of those a day, you know, after dinner. I like that. But if I got something coming on, that's it. No refined sugar. I'm going to do what I can to strengthen my immune system and not feed that thing that's inside of me. When I was younger, before I really got on this stuff, I had a couple of recurrent bouts of pneumonia. I hate pneumonia. I don't know if you've ever had it. In the old days, the moms used to warn, you'll get pneumonia. That's a big deal. No, it is a big deal when you get pneumonia. It lays you out pretty badly. And this type of food contributes to it. So just to let you know. Sugar, they've also found in research, feeds cancer cells. Now, what all cancer is, folks, is like this. God has designed your system so that every cell knows what type of cell it is, and every cell stays in its place. Okay, it's kind of like what God would want in a church. Okay, every cell has its gift, and every cell does its job in its place. That's how God has designed the body, like he designed the church. A cancer cell is like a lone wolf Christian. And a cancer cell is a cell, let's say, a liver cancer cell, that decides, you know what, I don't want to act like I'm supposed to, like a liver cell anymore. And the liver cells are told when one dies, one replaces it. So the liver stays the same size. Doesn't get any bigger, doesn't get any smaller. But when a cancer liver cell gets in there, it says, you know what, I need a little more space. And it starts reproducing, and it grows, and this massive tumor grows in there. And then the other thing it says is, I'm not happy here at the liver anymore. I think I'll run to the church down the road, like the brain. And it circulates all the way down and sets up a tumor in the brain that's called metastasis. That's what cancer does. They're rogue cells that grow more than they're supposed to, they divide more than they're supposed to, and they go where they're not supposed to go. And you know what feeds them? Sugar. They love sugar. 100% refined sugar. So I mean, a lot of the cancer in this society could be avoided if people ate properly. Sugar leads to osteoporosis. When you put refined sugar into your system, it changes the pH balance. Now, we're going to talk about pH someday, but the pH balance, you should be just the tiniest bit alkaline. 7.0 is normal. Water. 7.0, that's a normal balanced solution. God has set you up to be just a little above normal, to which we all say, amen. We should be a little above normal. So he set the system up to be 7.4, just a little bit alkaline. And your body fights tooth and nail to maintain an alkaline bloodstream. But your body gives up the fight when it comes up to the extracellular fluid outside of the bloodstream, which, by the way, is a heck of a lot of fluid. I told you, you're two-thirds liquid, two-thirds water. So let's take a look at me. Let's say I'm 150 pounds. We'll do easy math. I'm 150. That means I'm 100 pounds of fluid and water. 100 pounds, of which only 5 pints is blood. The rest of the 100 pounds is not blood. So my body will fight real hard to keep that alkaline at 7.4, but it'll kind of give up the battle on the rest, which means I can have cells bathed in acid and an acidic environment, and that sets up osteoporosis in the bones. The body says, I can't take this, so it starts stealing calcium from the bones to try and re-alkalinize the system. And so sugar causes osteoporosis. Like I told you, sugar causes yeast problems, and the women will know about this more than anyone. Yeast infections are common in women, and you have yeast naturally in your intestinal tract, but when you eat refined sugar, it starts to overgrow and finds itself into other places. Men will get it too in certain places, covered places, and in the feet and things like that. So. Sugar. And of course, it causes type 2 diabetes, as we talked about, and it also elevates cholesterol levels and triglyceride levels. So we want to avoid refined sugar, want to avoid that stuff. There's new research coming out on something called advanced glycation end products. And it has to do with how sugar attaches to proteins in the body. It just doesn't stay alone, it starts attaching. And as it attaches to these proteins, it speeds up the aging process. It accelerates the aging process. So what they find is there's an increase in atherosclerosis, there's an increase in heart disease and stroke, then there's an increase in asthma and lung deterioration, chronic lung diseases, and arthritis and Alzheimer's as it gets into the brain. Another thing about sugar, why do the companies use it? It's addictive. I mean, it tastes good. And once you have a little bit, you want a little bit more. And another thing it does in a subtle way is it depletes the zinc in your taste buds. And so then your taste buds get a little duller, and then you need twice the sugar that you had before. And so it's kind of a smart thing for the companies. We put more sugar in, and then you want more, and then you want more of our product. And then we'll even increase a little bit more of the sugar. And so there's been this increase. In the 1980s, the average American would receive 6 tablespoons of sugar a day. By the year 2000, it was up to 18 tablespoons a day. We're increasing the consumption of sugar. It's no accident that we're getting sicker and sicker and sicker. We're eating these deadly foods. But I told you, in its natural state, if you get the brown sugar and it has the molasses around it, which has its own natural fiber, that fiber in the molasses prevents these spikes and it helps you. But I'm going to show you where to get your best sugar from, and that's from the foods that God created. The natural sugars that are found in fruits and in vegetables and in grains. That's where you're to get your sugars from. So something to avoid is refined sugar. The next thing you want to avoid is refined flour. Go to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, small book. After Daniel, there's Hosea, Joel, Amos, the third book. Refined flour. All right. Amos chapter 8. Amos is very upset with the people because the Lord is showing to Amos all the things they're doing wrong in the nation Israel. And of course, the most important thing is they're worshiping wrong. I read the book of Amos. I tell you, don't pastors read the book of Amos? If the average pastor would just sit down and read the book of Amos, it would change 95% of the churches in this country. And that's another story. We'll teach it sometime. Anyway, so he's going down here and he's showing all the problems. And he's talking about, verse 6 is what I want to get to, but look at verse 4. We'll take a running start. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land to fail. You make them to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell the corn and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great. Okay, taking an ephah, a measure of wheat, and making it smaller than it should be. Okay, end of verse 6. Say, yea, we sell the refuse of the wheat. Now, they were doing back then what's being done today by General Mills and the folks today that refine wheat. This is what real wheat looks like. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth life. You take a look at wheat. A corn of wheat is made of three components. God does three in one. There's the outer shell of the bran. That's the fiber. Then there's an inner body here called the endosperm, and that's loaded with carbohydrate. And then there's the live part on the inside called the germ. That's the living seed on the inside. Now here's what the companies will do with the milling process, is they will take this grain, the whole grain, and you take a look at it all together, the whole wheat, the entire grain together, has 72% carbohydrate. Your body needs between 55 to 75% carbohydrate a day. Carbohydrate is the fuel that keeps you going. Protein and fats are the building blocks that build the cells. So you need some of that too to build cells, but you need energy to build the cells, and you need energy to do the regular processes of living every single day. So your body needs carbohydrate. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? So the Atkins diet is garbage. The Atkins diet is garbage. Well, it works. I don't care if it works. It's not about losing pounds. It's about rebuilding the body properly. Well, I want to lose weight quickly. Look, you didn't gain it quickly. So get the mindset it's going to take you 2 years to get it off. It took you a number of years to gain it. Get going in the right direction and do it properly, and the Lord will rebuild everything properly as the process goes on in the right direction. And in 2 years, amen. It's like reading your Bible. You're not meant to read it overnight. But 2 years later, you look back and go, wow, I read from Genesis to Revelation. And I learned some things, and I assimilated some things, and you're healthier 2 years later. So stop with the American mentality of I want it here and I want it now. That's the devil running to and fro. We do things slow and steadfastly and assuredly and go in the right direction. So the whole grain, it's got the carbohydrate just the way God wants it. It has water, 12% water. You need water. It has 12% protein. You need protein. It has 2% fat. You need fat. Not too much, but you do need it. And it has 2% minerals and vitamins. What do? They take it and they strip it down and they split it into three. They take the bran and they put that separately. And then they take the germ and they put that separately and they sell it. You go to a health food store, you can buy wheat bran and wheat germ. And then they take the least important part, which is nothing now but carbohydrate. And maybe a touch of water. No protein, no fat, almost no mineral, no vitamin, and then they begin processing it at very high temperature. And then they oxidize it. And that's what you need, oxidants in your system. You need lots of those. And when it's all done, they have gray mush. And they look at it and go, no one's going to buy this. And so they bleach it white. That's a good thing. You like to drink some bleach next time you're thirsty. And they put bleach in it, and they bleach it white. And then after that, they go, you know, we got to put something in there. And so they enrich it like Wonder Bread. And it's a wonder they call that stuff bread. God would call it the refuse of the wheat. Because throughout the scriptures, if you were to look at Psalm 104, verse 15, he talks about the bread strengthens man's heart. Yes, the natural bread that God gave does strengthen man's heart. But the refuse of the wheat... Look at the word again, end of verse 6. Ye sell the refuse of the wheat. You want to see the first time that word is used in your Bible? Go to Exodus chapter 4. See the word refuse? Take a look at Exodus chapter 4. Sell the refuse of the wheat. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now look, if you're careful and you know English, one's a verb and one's a noun. But they're spelled exactly the same. And the verb is right here. And talking about something that's got bondage on one of God's kids. The refuse, that would be the noun. And the noun means the discarded, the rejected, the refused. The refuse refuses to let you go. That white flower becomes addicting. And so they take, after it's this ugly gray stuff, and they bleach it and make it white to confuse you, and then they sprinkle a few chemical vitamins in there, just a few, but nothing to replace the protein or the fat or the water content that was in there. And they give that to you, and they sell it back to you. And it converts to sugar as fast as a candy bar in your system. And it becomes real sticky like glue. And it constipates not just your GI tract, but also your arteries. And the doctor has a saying, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. And where do you find white bread? Oh, just about everywhere. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Again, you got to know your limitations. Like Dave Hemanowski taught me yesterday, I'm trying to do my pool. I can't do it. Thankfully, he came and fixed it. But like Clint Eastwood said, a man ought to know his limitations. I couldn't do it. But you need to know your limitations with your willpower. If you're someone that once you get the first pastry in your mouth, there, verse 3, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Verse 6, eat not thou the bread of him that hath an evil eye. That's the type of the bread we're talking about. Neither desire his dainty meats made of that type of bread. If it's the kind of stuff that gets such a hold of you and you can't let go of it, then you got to stop it altogether. Where is it found? Well, it's found, again, in the normal breads that we have. It's found in buns that we like, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, all those type of things, bagels, that type of stuff, pastries, crackers, pasta, all these type of things. That's where you find it. Now, thankfully, there are, we're going to talk about next week, the good foods. There is wholesome bread. There is healthy bread. There are healthy pastas that you can get, and those are the ones you want. Again, for the foundation of your diet, all right? You'll see me every so often. I'll go out there at a picnic, rarely, and let a hot dog. I don't eat a hot dog. I eat carrot dogs, okay? My wife puts the carrots, and I put that. But I'll even have it on one of those white bread type of rolls once in a while. And you'll see me doing that occasionally because it's moderation. My body can handle it and deal with it because it's getting good food 90%+ of the time. So I can take a break. I understand that short circuits a few minds. And if you're of that mindset, go the extra 56th mile and go and, you know, go all the way like I did when I was into this stuff a long time ago. But you got to watch this stuff. This is everywhere that we go. The next thing of the deadly foods, refined sugar. Refined flour. Go if you're in Proverbs, back up to Proverbs chapter 20, real quick. Proverbs chapter. I lost my reference. Forget about it. We made enough sense on it. All right, the next thing that's dangerous for the seven deadly foods, processed meats. Processed meats. Is it 17? My son found it, verse 17. Yeah. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. It converts to sugar right away. And the sugar hastens the development of bacteria on the teeth and the wiping away of the enamel and ends up with tooth decay. And that's a problem there. The refined sugars and refined flours, they're very much similar. The next problem is processed meats. Now, the Lord would like us to eat good meat and healthy meat, but not the type of meats that are processed today. These deadly meats that we eat, now first off, they're everywhere, fast foods. I mean, you know, the hamburgers. The average American, it says, now consumes 3 hamburgers and 4 orders of French fries per week. That's inconceivable to me. I haven't had a hamburger in a decade. I mean, I can't even imagine. And an order of fries, my mind can't even, I can't understand this stuff. Anyways, in 1970, Americans spent $6 billion on fast food. Last year, we spent $200 billion on fast food. So one thing I can be sure of, doctors are going to be making a lot of money for a long time. I've never worried about doctors and nurses making money, because so long as Americans eat the way they eat, they're just headed for illness and sickness and disease, and we're going to be doing just fine. If people ate the way I eat, doctors would be out of business. They'd be walking, or they'd be driving taxi cabs. That's what they'd be doing. They'd be looking for business, anything they could do. They'd be flipping burgers. Well, there wouldn't be fast food restaurants. But they'd have to find something to do. All right. The problems with these deadly meats. These deadly meats, the ones you never want to eat. I mean, absolutely never want to eat. Go to Leviticus chapter 7. You never want to eat liver or kidney. These are the most unhealthy foods around. They're as deadly can get. Go to Leviticus 7. God warns about it right here in the Bible. By the way, when I was given some bad advice a long time ago that liver was healthy, and I tried to eat it, and I spit it out like it was something out of a garbage can, then I was told, well, this is how you have to cook it. You got to fry it in lots of oil and put onions and all that kind of stuff on it. Yeah, so you can deceive yourself into thinking it's edible, because it's awful. But anyways, Leviticus chapter 7, when the Lord is talking about the offerings, he tells them in verse 4, you take the 2 kidneys and the fat that's on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that's above the liver with the kidneys, and the caul with the liver, the caul above the liver plus the liver inside of it, and take it away. You don't eat that stuff. Why? The livers and the kidneys inside of people, and the signal of the liver, is made to process all the poison inside of you. That's what God gave them for you. They're there to take all the poison that your 75 trillion cells excretes in a day, and it's to be processed. They're the waste processing plants of the body. They are full of all the waste inside the body. Full of all the poisons, whether they were artificial poisons or the natural poisons that you make, because we make a little bit of poison on our own when we break certain products down, all the acids that we produce, and they're just in there. And now you're eating it. I don't think so. So you stay away from liver and kidneys. That's going to make all the children happy. Okay, there's no child around that likes that stuff. They have a little more sense than we do sometimes in certain things. The other things you've got to stay away from are processed meats like a packaged, cold cuts, bologna, salami, hot dogs, bacon, sausage, processed ham. Now, what they do in the processing of these things is they load them with saturated fats. And I'm going to teach you next about the different type of fats. But they're saturated. They're processed fats, trans fats, hydrogenated fats that are unhealthy type of fats, the type of thing that attack all the blood vessels and the heart. And of course, again, if you want to get home early, have at it. You know, maybe I should start doing that. But it wouldn't. So that's one problem associated with heart disease. The second thing they process in these things are nitrates and nitrites. Have you heard of those terms, nitrates and nitrites? These are fancy names for very ugly substances that are carcinogens, and they cause cancer. They break down instantly into the system. The minute they hit your body reprocesses them into nitrosamines. And these are prone to attacking the digestive tract, the oral cavity, the esophagus, the stomach cancer, very high risk. High rates with processed meat. The second thing they attack is the bladder and the brain cancer. They've been doing research with mothers and children. Don't ever let your kids get hooked on hot dogs and processed cold cuts and stuff like that, because they're 2 to 3 times more harmful to a child than they are to an adult. Leukemia is one of the things kids develop. There's been a big increase in leukemia in children, and it's probably due to eating these processed fast food hamburgers at McDonald's and the cold cuts and the things like this, all these nitrosamines. And they even did a study with mothers that ate hot dogs during pregnancy and found the children have a higher increase of brain tumors. So these are just things. So if you're going to eat, if you're really addicted to this stuff, and some of you are, then at the very least, try and find the hot dogs that are nitrate and nitrite-free. You'll see some labels in the store. It says nitrate-free or nitrite-free. Try and get those ones. But the recommendation, and another thing, is these processed hams and Spam. There's a good one. When I was in medical school, before I got onto all this nutrition stuff, man, I was a sick dog. I didn't realize it until I went to get an insurance policy, and they came to test me, and, you know, they were thrilled, the insurance people, because how old are you? 28 years old. And what's your profession? You're in training to be a doctor? You know, dollar signs. This guy, he can spend the money on the policy. The guy was thrilled to sell me the policy. I got a $500,000 policy for you, doc. I mean, and then when they came and tested me, I failed the physical at 28 and a half years old for an insurance policy. Because I used to eat Spam. I couldn't understand why I was thirsty after eating Spam. But I would eat Spam. I would wake up in the morning, have my bacon. I would go to those big breakfasts that they have at the hospital. I would have ice cream cones at lunch. I mean, just pitiful the way I used to eat. But I used to have Spam and stuff like that. When it comes to these things, here's what you... And by the way, what is this thing called a Slim Jim? What are those things? That's something, yeah, the refuse of Spam. That's something you never want to eat. I mean, I guess maybe you can have it once a decade. You can have half a Slim Jim and then give your body a decade to clean up from the thing. I mean, that's like quadruple loaded with nitrates and all this processing that goes on in here. I mean, they use this technique to make these meats. It's called AMRS. Advanced Meat Recovery System. In other words, they want to get as much meat as they can from whatever animal they have. So they process the carcass, the bone, the tissue, the spinal cord. They try and get as much out of it when they're making this stuff. Let me tell you, there are viruses that get inside the bone and the spinal cord that stay for a lifetime. The body can never clear them out. Some of the stuff with the mad cow disease and some of these viruses, there's an encephalitis, and there's another one, the name escapes me. It's an exotic virus. I'm getting old. I'm blocking on it. But Lord help me. Anyways, it's an exotic virus, and it gets into the spinal cord. And this is, they use this advanced meat recovery system, and they process everything when you're eating that stuff. I mean, you don't know what you're eating, which is probably good. You probably wouldn't eat it if you didn't... if you knew. So I recommend, he says, get your own ham, get your own turkey, bake it how do you bake those? Is it baking? Is that what you do? I don't know anything about a cook kitchen. My wife, where is she when I need her? And you prepare those things and then make your own cold cuts if you might. Slice your own ham, slice your own turkey. It only lasts a couple days, but make your sandwiches out of that. But don't get that processed meat stuff. Well, we're running out of time, and all we were able to get through was the 3 of the 7 deadly foods. I'll get through the rest of them next week. But look, like he told Jeremiah, you need to tear down. You need to root out. You need to destroy some of these harmful things. We're going to replace them with healthy things, but these are very important. I mean, don't put stuff into your system that's only prone to accelerating the disease process and causing cancer and just making you, again, look where I'm dragging to Zion. You want to go marching to Zion with step and life inside of you. Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He says the belly for meats, meats for the belly. God will destroy both of them. Forget about that stuff. Let's eat the living food that God's given us. Let's take a moment here. Lord, help us to learn these things. We don't know them naturally. We're thankful that you reveal them in your book, and thankfully that you've given us some people who've studied these, and help us Help us to do in such a manner to our body that we will be able that someday when the spirit is willing, the flesh won't be so weak that it cannot serve thee. And this I pray for all of us in Jesus' name, amen.